Okay, so this is a quick rundown of what my schedule looked like in Oslo, in Norway, when I went to attend the Nobel Peace Prize Awards and when I went as a representative from the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize Committee. I went with my brother Larry, with Kwabi Amoah-Forson, with his friend Isaiah, and with Tom Heavey. Tom was the creator of the Tacoma Peace Prize Committee. He created that when at the age of 51 he was called up for service. He had been in the Coast Guard, and he was called up for service and sent to the Middle East. And after spending time in the Middle East doing what our military does, he thought to himself, well, it can't continue on like this. And when he came back, because he was already a member of the Sons of Norway, he decided to create an organization, the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize Committee, that is modeled after the Nobel Peace Prize Committee in Oslo, Norway. So Tom was kind of our guide and organizer during this trip, and I so appreciated his help. So Larry, me, Marilyn, Kwabi, and Isaiah took off on December 5th to go to Oslo, Norway. And our first day, by the time we got there, because we stopped briefly in Reykjavik, which is in Iceland, that's our transfer spot, and then we went the rest of the way into Oslo, came into the airport, took a train into, because the airport in Oslo is not really very close to Oslo, took a train into Oslo with all of our bags and schlepped them around, and it was a crowded flight. I was exhausted. So the first day we didn't really have anything scheduled other than survival and getting into Oslo. The next day was also kind of an off. Well, officially we got in December 5th. Or is it 6th? Yes, December 6th. And December 7th was a free day. So Kwabi and Isaiah went off to do whatever they wanted to do. And Larry and I went off to do whatever we wanted to do, which in our case was the Thor Heyerdahl Museum. Many of you may be familiar with Thor Heyerdahl. He was the Norwegian who built the Kon-Tiki and the Aku-Aku and went on an exploration to see where the tides and the currents would take him, to see if it were possible that people came from the Polynesian islands all the way to South America. So we went to the Kon-Tiki Museum and the Aku Aku Museum, and it was wonderful. One thing I was reminded of that I'd forgotten since I'd read the book was that Thor deliberately chose people from all different persuasions and walks of life to be part of his crew, even if they had no experience. He wanted people that were Muslim, he wanted people that were Jewish, he wanted blacks, he wanted whites, he wanted people that were Asian. He wanted all types because he wanted it to be a truly international voyage. And he did that with the Aku Aku too. So that was a wonderful experience. We took a bus out of town and got to see a bit of the countryside, which was also good. And I have wonderful pictures, which I will post on our website, of the radios that they used, because he was a radiohead too. So you will get to see that. We also visited, because it was right next door, the Fram Museum. That's F-R-A-M. And that was actually built around the ship that Amundsen was a model of a ship, that Amundsen sailed to the Antarctic. And that was a beautiful museum with lots of interactive experiences. And I will also try to post a short video, very short, and pictures of that. So that was our first day. And it was cold in Norway. My brother kept telling me, oh, well, it will be warmer in Iceland when we get there. That's another story. So that was December 7th. And that evening, we went to the Norwegian Nobel Committee to meet with Olaf Njåstad, director. And he took us around, and you will hear his interview about his role and his organization and how they choose. December 8th, we went to the Oslo Center for Peace. And that is an interview with, and I'm going to murder the pronunciation, but J is pronounced Y. Kjeli Madne Bondevik, founder of the Oslo Center about 20 years ago. And he also is the former Prime Minister of Norway. So we interviewed him, and he showed us around the beautiful building where the committee meets to make their decisions. And we kind of got to have a behind-the-scenes look at everything, and it was quite impressive. December 9th was maybe one of my favorite days. That is the new University of Oslo interview. It's formerly the Bjørknes College. We met with a couple of faculty, including Chris, whose last name I don't have, but he's from Wales, a woman from the U.S., and several PLU students. Now, what this university does is, in Norway, many students take a gap year. And after they graduate from high school, they take a year to study what it is that they might be interested in focusing on in college. And so not only do they take Norwegians in this university for a year, but they also take students from other countries. And we had lunch together and just sat around the table and chatted and talked, and it was a wonderful interview, one of my favorite ones. So that was December 9th during the day. And then that evening, we went to Frogner Park to look at the Gustav Vigeland sculptures. Gustav Vigeland is like the national sculptor of Norway. It's very prolific sculptor, did a lot of monumental sculptures. He was in the 1920s and 30s, and Oslo kind of adopted him. They said, if you will give us all your sculptures, we will put you up in a house and take care of you for life. So that was the arrangement, and he was quite happy with it. And I'm not going to comment on how I felt about his sculptures, because that's probably irrelevant. If you ever get to Oslo, you should go see them and decide for yourself. Okay, so now we're on December 10th, and December 10th is the day of the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony. And I had been told that I needed to have a dress to wear, and I needed to look decent, and I was stressed out. I really was. Anyhow, I put on what I had, and off we went. We needed to be there quite early because people were coming from all over. They have this ceremony in the town hall, which doesn't sound very impressive, does it? But boy, oh boy, when you get in there, it is quite a town hall. So I am wearing the most uncomfortable shoes because I'm trying to look good. And Norwegians not only walk everywhere, but they walk fast. It is my personal opinion that no mugger could ever make a living in Oslo because they couldn't catch the walkers. Anyhow, we're doing our best. We're walking down there. It's cold. My feet hurt, but never mind. We get down there, and we finally get in. You can't take anything in. You have to leave your jacket. You have to leave your cameras. You have to leave your little Zoom that I'm holding in my hand. You're not going to be able to record. But we finally got in, and then you do a lot of waiting. But that's okay because the building is beautiful. So while I was there, I talked to some American University students from Westchester, New York. And they were just interesting people. I talked with a woman from Egypt who'd been working in Oslo for 2 years, helping refugees. And then we finally go in and we get seated. And these four, I guess they're trumpeters, are in these royal uniforms standing step down, step down, step down, step down on these side stairs, looking very regal. And they bugle, I guess it's a bugle, I don't know. They bugle in unison four times. And then the royal family enters. And everybody stands, and the royal family comes in, and they're seated. And then they bugle again. And then the Nobel Prize committee comes in. And we all stand, and they walk by, and they're seated. I will tell you about the ceremony. It was a combination of music and actual award. Once everybody was seated, then the Nobel Prize Committee chair, Britt Rice Anderson, opened the program. And she announced the theme, which was journalism and preserving memory. Now, this is important because I didn't know ahead of time that every Nobel Prize year, they choose a theme. So this year, the theme was journalism and preserving memory. And with that theme in mind, they chose their three winners. The first winner's name, and I'm going to murder his name again, I don't sound very peaceful, do I? is Aleš Bielatsky. And Aleš is a Belarusian, and he is currently in prison. So his wife, Natalia Pinchuk, from the Vyazna organization, was there to accept the prize. And the next winner, not a person, was a group called Memorial. And they're from Russia. They were created in the 1980s by Andrei Sakharov and Elena Zemkovia. And Memorial documents crimes and human rights abuses and was shut down in April of 2022, but the archives need to be preserved. And the chair of that is Jan Rachinsky, who said, "Nobody plans to give up. And we don't plan to give up." The next group that won is the Center for Civil Liberties, which is a Ukrainian group. So this is interesting that you have a theme here in addition to the journalism. And their reason for being is the right to criticize power and protect fundamental rights of citizens. That was started in 2007 by the chair of the board of directors, who is Alessandra Matuchuk, and that was to reinforce the principles of human dignity and of civic action to support democracy, human rights, and the rule of law. In 2013, there was a protest in Kyiv at Independence Square under Viktor Yanukovych, and there was a crackdown. So there is an initiative to document human rights violations, that is their initiative, and to provide legal assistance to the victims. They've created interactive maps to track enforced disappearances after Yanukovych was removed and Russia annexed Crimea and Donbas. Ukraine groups sent mobile monitoring teams. So sad to say, both Memorial and the Center for Civil Liberties are currently not able to operate in their countries. But they are preserving the memory and doing what they can where they are. So journalism, as we know, has become increasingly dangerous in our world. It was an amazing ceremony. I was quite emotional during it. And I felt it was so right that Radio Tacoma be there listening to what journalists go through and demonstrating such respect for journalism and what they do. Then we left, we changed clothes, and I got my shoes off, redressed, and that evening there was a torchlight parade, and it was amazing. It was huge. It went from the convention center down to a place on the main drag called the Grand Hotel. And it's bitter cold, but Norway, they know it's cold. They're prepared for cold. They have these little fires all and these little roundabouts where you can sit and warm yourself by the fire as you're walking. So that was good, and there were hundreds and hundreds of people there. And while I was there, and I am the world's worst videographer, so a lot of my videographs of that are upside down and backwards. I can't show them. But I did talk to three U.S. service women who were there, three lovely women, and I asked them, why did you join the service? And they each gave me just answers that I hadn't expected. None of them had to do with being warlike. I also talked with Russians that were there and Eritreans, and just shared the joy. And then out on the balcony. The three honorees who had accepted the prizes came out and waved to the crowd. So it was very, very cool. And the next day was a semi-free day, so I convinced my poor brother to go to the Folk Museum with me, which was out of town and involved a lot of walking again. But it was wonderful because it was out in the countryside a little bit. And great portions of the old buildings that they have at the Folk Museum were moved from the King's Palace. They were on his property. They were really ancient buildings. I got to see a stave church, and I will post that picture, and learned more about the Sami people and all kinds of crafts. And December 12th, we went to the Nobel Peace Center. We were guided by Julius and got these wonderful cards. They all have cats on them. They're postcards. They are to be sent to Alice Bielatsky because he is a cat lover. So I invite anybody who wants to come get a card, write something to Alice. We don't know that the cards will all get there to him, but some of them might. The Folk Museum had also had their Christmas market that day, but everything in Norway is really expensive, so I didn't buy anything. I learned about rosemaling and the knitting history and the weaving history. And then I got to, rosemaling is just beautiful. It's a type, I called it toll painting before I learned more about it. But if you know what toll painting is, or rosemaling, it's a beautiful form of painting, either on wood or on metal. The Christmas tree there, just in the field, was decorated with cans that had holes punched in them, because that's what they did in those days, in the old days. Norway was a very poor country. It's got a history of being taken over by Sweden, by Denmark. People were quite poor. Yeah. They had dancing, which I loved. All right, there we were again, freezing, and these young people, young meaning maybe from in their 20s on down, are dancing in their beautiful local outfits. And what they provide is just typically Norwegian. They had bales of hay in a circle around a fire, and you sat on the bale of hay around the fire and got a little warmer. On Monday, December 12th, we went to the Nobel Peace Center, which is the Nobel Museum. We met with Julius. And then at 2 o'clock, we went to the Peace Research Institute of Oslo, and we met with Einrik Uerdal, the director. So I did not get those recordings, but I will tell you they were both very impressive. We got to look at portraits of all of the Nobel Prize winners, and I was very glad to see that it's not just individuals. There are many groups. I took pictures of my favorite groups. I took pictures of my favorite winners. I read up about different ones that I had never heard about, learned about histories, and my brain became full and overflowed. So, and then finally on the 13th, Tuesday, we had our last assigned thing to do. And that was at 5 o'clock in the evening, and it was snowing like crazy. We needed to get to the NORAM facility. That's the Norway American Foundation. And there, they were having a cocktail party. And we met with Hanna Åberg. According to Janet Rood, NORAM is our oldest friend in Norway, our being the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize Committee's our oldest friend in Norway. And they've been supporters of the Greater Tacoma Peace Prize Group and PLU and the Scandinavian Studies since it very first began. And this was their Christmas party, and it was snowing and snowing and snowing, and somehow we were able to get there. And then while we were there, it snowed more. And then it was interesting. It's always a little awkward because you don't know these people. And it wasn't, with my hearing problem, and my hearing aids were not adjusted well, so I couldn't hear very well. But finally I settled in a little circle of people that were talking and visiting, and discovered that as much as Norway focuses on peace and problem solving and mediation and all the work they do, they have some things that they need to work on too. One of the people that I was sitting near mentioned Romanians in a very dismissive way. And I thought, I don't think she means Romanians. So I asked her, and it turned out she meant the Roma people. And there is a lot of work that they need to do on learning to be understanding of why the Roma people are the way they are, and what they need to do to reach out to truly reach a peaceful understanding with them. But we all have work to do. None of us are perfect. By the time we got out of there, the snow had come down even more, and it was about a foot thicker. And we were finally able to hail a cab and went back to our hotel, which was a wonderful little hotel. And the next day, we would be leaving for Reykjavik. And that is another story. Thank you for listening.